may be seated. Salt that loses its saltiness. If I remember correctly, that is something that is almost chemically impossible. I mean, salt, if my 10th grade chemistry class was correct, is one of the more stable compounds. But chemistry wasn't my strong point. I still got an A in it, but biology was what I really did good in. That was a 99 in that class. But anyways, it was one of the sciences, and we talk about salt and we equate it to the people of earth that, we expect our leaders to be salt of the earth kind of people, don't we? Someone whose worth is always valued because it's almost a 100% certainty that whatever happens, their integrity will be intact because they have led as justly as they could. Integrity. I never thought I'd be sitting on a Saturday night going, do I really have to preach about integrity the next day with what's been going on this past week? Integrity, that's something we expect from our leaders, isn't it? Whether they're leaders in the church, whether they're elected officials, or whether they're facing an appointment, we expect them to be salt of the earth people. But I don't want to talk about what's going on currently. I like to talk about things that have happened in the past. Several years ago, South Carolina had a governor that was supposed to be one of the rising stars in politics. He was one of the best governors ranked at that time. He was one day expected to make a run for the presidency, and I wish he had. He was a man with a nice family rooted in who he was as a South Carolinian. They had a home down near Charleston, a farm somewhere in the Midlands, and yes, he knew how to actually use a tractor. He had four kids. They were like little stair steps when you lined them up next to one another, a verifiable portrait of who we want to be a leader among us, because they embody everything that we want to have ourselves, you know, that perfect household, that perfect life. Does anybody know what happened to him? Oh, he lost the integrity he once had in the public's eye. He even championed being a family man in his campaigns. Routinely, he had ads with his whole family, minus the Argentinian mistress, in the commercials that played over and over again during election season. Y'all remember, don't you? He was hiking on the Appalachian Trail. The man we once knew as the uprighteous governor, pillar of the American ideal and someone who could possibly make a difference, had gone behind our backs after showing what it meant to be a family that loved and supported one another, only to betray that trust. I guess that'll end his career in politics, won't it? No, he became a representative and was elected to what I believe was two terms in Congress, only to lose in the primary because of his lack of loyalty to the White House instead of conservative policy. It was really something else to see that evolve down in South Carolina. He was, though, a person whose inconsistency in morals and values, whose integrity caused harm and distrust. Now, this is not very different from what Jesus is talking about in the gospel. In the text just before this reading, the disciples, they're squabbling about who is the greatest among them, and Jesus tells them to chill out, that it's not about them, it's about the integrity amongst them. So much so that Jesus took a child and placed that young one amongst them and embraced the child to show them that it doesn't matter, because whoever welcomes even this young, tiny, insignificant person who can't vote and is told that they are naive when they have an opinion and can do nothing for themselves is, in all honesty, them embracing the greatest of them all, the child, because the child's integrity is the greatest of them all at that point. And now Jesus is having to get on their case again, those pesky disciples. Don't stifle the ministry of God. Don't trip someone up that's doing a good thing in my name just because they aren't part of the in crowd, one of y'all. For goodness sakes, don't y'all get it? If they're doing good things in my name, then they aren't going to go around and badmouth me to their buddies. The 12 of y'all got to get it. There are others that also know what it means to be a follower. Did you know that? Did you know it? Well, then why don't you act like it? I'm sure Jesus wouldn't have a problem ending a sentence in a preposition like that, because Jesus spoke in the language of the day, made jokes. We know that. People knew better than to cut off their arm or leg or pop their eyeball out or jump into the water with an anchor wrapped around their ankles. And we know better than that today, I'm assuming. I don't know. I've assumed things before, and well, guess what? So let's talk about that for a moment. People in that time knew to be maimed in any way meant they couldn't work and they would have to rely on the government or the goodness of others for their survival. It's basically a straight ticket to poverty, to begging, to homelessness, sometimes even death. Of course, Jesus isn't going to advocate for something like this, but why would he interject this here when talking about welcoming children or causing children to stumble in their faith? Well, for one thing, let's pretend Jesus isn't talking about kids, but about people who are new to the faith, who are early in their Christian journey, who are still thinking and trying to figure out what all this is about, who might not know fully what it means to love your neighbor as yourself, to love your enemy, and then see how we act and then hear oftentimes what we say. We may talk like a Christian. We may act like a Christian, but are all of our words Christian? Are all of our actions Christian? You know, if we call someone to stumble in their faith and to question whether or not they feel like they belong or not, whether a child or a grown adult, then we got to be ready to fess up for what we've done. Because if we don't do to the best of our ability what God calls us to do, if we don't do to the best of our ability what God calls us to do, and we all know what that is, it's to bring glory to the kingdom of God, to make disciples of Jesus Christ so that we can transform the world for the good. So we don't have people walking around homeless and hungry. So we don't have people that suffer at the hands of institutional racism. So we don't have people judged because of the color of their skin, their sexual orientation, or any other of those social constructs that we place in our society. We don't just try to make disciples of Christ to have another warm body sitting in a pew. It's not denying children or adults early in their Christian life the obligation we have to teach them about faith, to teach it to them properly, not haphazardly. Not to teach them that our church is the best because we embrace others, or to teach them that the church across the street is the one that actually has all the hypocrites in it, or teach them that if they don't give, 10% of that pre-tax income, they're going to go you know where. Or to teach them that this is my church. This is where I sit. This is where I've sat since this place was built in 1968. And whatever I say goes. These are the kind of things that have plagued Christianity far too long, because they brought negative mindsets towards other Christian bodies, whether whole denominations or individual congregations. I like to use this kind of imagery sometimes because it's usually the ones that shock you the most that you remember. It's like being on top of a mountain and you need to get to the bottom of the mountain. You decide to jump off rather than walk down because the quickest and easiest way down off the mountain. But the worst part is, it's also the most painful way to get to the bottom, isn't it? Now, is that the route we as Christians want to continue to go down? We might as well then be like salt that's lost its flavor. Is it going to be good for anything? Going to be able to spice up anything? Going to be able to go out into the world and make a difference? No, because you'll have broke legs because you jumped off the mountain instead of walking down it. Are we going to be Christians that make worship exciting? Are we going to ensure that we actually teach Christian education? That we are actively engaged in mission beyond just writing checks? That we're active in the world with our hands? And that ministry will then again become effective again in this place? I've served in churches that always thought it was the pastor's job to do everything. I've served in churches where they thought it was just the congregation's job to do everything. But I like to take both of those approaches and mesh them together. Because together we can do more than we can apart. And it's only through God's good grace that we're here today and that we remain faithful to God. In other words, as a people of faith, we should be able to sit down at a table with each other and share a meal together and not hold any ill feelings or ill will towards anyone sitting there next to us. We shouldn't have to hold anything back as either host or guest. We have to remember that we're supposed to love one another as Christ loves each and every single one of us, despite the fact that, yes, we are sinners, but we are saints alike. To put it simply, we got to act like decent human beings that have dignity, respect, and honor, but for more than just ourselves. Because we have to look beyond ourselves and look to others. Only then will we see what God's kingdom can begin to look like. Because then we'll have the integrity that Christ had. We'll have that same integrity that Christ shows each and every single one of us on the cross. Loved us so much so that he gave his life for us so that our eyes may be opened and that we could live into his ways and into his teachings. Only then will we see what God's kingdom can begin to look like. When we stand up and when we say, yes, this place can and will be effective because we desire to spread the message of God here in Port Washington. Yes, we can reclaim that name of Christ. Yes, we want to be the pillar of faith that others can come to know and to trust. Yes, we want to be Christians, but we don't want to be the kind that put up a facade to try to cover up our disgrace. We truly want to be genuine, don't we? Do you want to be a genuine Christian? Lord knows I do. Do you want to have the same integrity that Christ had on the cross for each and every single one of us? Then let's see what God's kingdom can truly look like as we stand together, united as one, in this body of faith. May the integrity that we hope to have ourselves, may we let that shine to the others around us. May we be beacons of light and hope to those in a world of darkness. Amen. Amen. Thanks be to God.